Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. Welcome, everyone, Natty Nation, to our Thursday edition of P4P Real Talk. Hope you guys have been having a great week thus far. I am Desiree Fletcher, and my cohort, Kalen Patterson, is not with us tonight, but please do send him some good vibes, and we're looking forward to having him back on the air with us next week. So tonight, we are going to be talking about a very important subject, which, you know, a lot of competitors, when we're getting ready, we're all gung-ho about the pre-contest prep. But as we enter the off season or the improvement season, which I stole that term from Jess Smart, who's a NPC pro that we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, we enter that with kind of no plan at all sometimes. You know, we kind of feel like this is our free time. I don't want to focus on food. I don't want to focus on working out. I just want to kind of get back to myself. And we kind of look at it without much structure other than, okay, the competition season, it starts XYZ month, so I've got so many weeks before I need to jump on the bandwagon again, and then all of a sudden we're focused on show prep, and we haven't managed our improvement season that well. And so tonight, our special guest is Mandy Embury, and she is going to be sharing her views with us on the off season, and she's got a little different spin on it than I think several of us may have when it comes to how to plan and how to approach that off season, so or improvement season. So, Mandy, welcome to our show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, I you've got a pretty good story of how you got started in the natural bodybuilding arena. It's not one that's uncommon, but it's one that I think that our listeners should hear, because we've got a wide mix of folks listening in. We've got our competitors, our seasoned competitors, and those that are just getting started or those that are thinking about getting started. So it's always good to hear how people jump into this arena and what got them going.
Yeah, so I'm a really late bloomer to the sport. I didn't really even start lifting heavy weights until I was about 36 years old. I'm now 41. But I don't have that background of most athletes where, you know, they were in track in high school and college and everything else. I definitely was not an athlete growing up. I was more of a couch potato. Anybody who knows me from high school back then knows that, or would be completely surprised, I guess, by what I'm doing now, because I just had no interest in sports and definitely no interest in the gym. But probably around my early 30s, I suppose, I just started, you know, realizing that my unhealthy habits were completely catching up with me and feeling sluggish, gaining weight, you know, the typical thing that most women around that age kind of do. But I guess my husband, one year, I told him I wanted a personal trainer for Mother's Day, and he looked at me like I was crazy, and then he went out and researched it. Do I really want to hire my wife a trainer? Is this really what I wanted to do? So he did, and I was still kind of the throw-around-the-pink dumbbells kind of girl, never really serious about it. Horrible diet. I love cheeseburgers. I can't help it. Yeah, so in the gym, you know, kind of not getting used to it, not being so intimidated by the weights that I would never go near before, getting that comfort level. But then around 2009, I lost my job and kind of just took a different path with myself, you know, decided that I wasn't going to go back to work. I would just be stay-at-home mom. My daughter was 15 at the time, so kind of late to be a stay-at-home mom, but it was an opportunity that I really appreciated that I had in life. But then, you know, my husband told me, you know, why don't you just go out and do all those things that you've always wanted to do? You always wanted to run a marathon. Go do it. And I did. so I just kind of launched into that. But I never got that satisfaction from running. I did triathlons too. Didn't even know how to swim. Signed up for one. 3 months later, did one. But just constantly looking for that next big challenge. Never really found it, though. Every time I'd cross that finish line, I was like, what's next? What's next? And then met a friend at the gym who was training for her first show, and I just could not believe the physique she had. It was just amazing to me. I was like, that is how I want to look. She just looks fantastic. But I was just this tiny, skinny little girl and thought I could never do it, but I wasn't going to let that stop me. I still launched into it, gave it a shot, and, of course, you know, that was 2011, where I did my first bikini show. Now, I think this is really common for women. So, you know, what I did not train long enough for a physique show. I mean, I think I started in May of that year. And mind you, I had only been throwing around the pink dumbbells, was not in shape, had a terrible diet. I just wanted to compete. I didn't care. I just wanted to be on that stage. I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to knock it out. So I jumped into my first show, which was actually in the bikini class in 2011. And I got lean, definitely got lean. All I had really was a set of abs. That was about it. That's about all I had to bring to the stage. You know, no one really told me. I mean, maybe they did. I just didn't listen. Who knows? But I just wanted to compete. No one really explained that, you know, you got to take time. You got to really give it a good, solid amount of time of eating a lot of food, eating properly, lifting weights properly before you can stand on that stage. You know, these people don't just wake up one day and decide to compete. And that's kind of what I did. I woke up one day and I'm going to do it. Let's go do it. But after that experience, you know, in that first show, I thought I was just going to do one and be done. But I just fell in love with it, which I think most people do, you know. But yeah, I always wanted to be a figure competitor. That was just my ultimate dream, you know. I just admired those physiques. I remember going to my first show in 2011 and seeing the figure girls up there and just being in complete awe. And I thought, there's just no way. There's just no way I can do that. I'm just this tiny little beanpole. But I thought, why not? Challenge accepted. This is exactly what I was looking for. So I again made the mistake, though, of, all right, I competed in October of 2011. I'm going to go ahead and do a figure show in May of the following year. Again, made that same mistake of not giving myself enough time, not building enough muscle, not eating properly, just so many mistakes. And I think that's really common with a lot of females. So not only that, we always want to stay in shape all the time. So to eat over what you should be eating is really a struggle. I mean, at least it was for me anyway. But went ahead with it. I competed in my first figure show in 2012 in May, and I managed to get a Masters Pro card there, but I knew I was not anywhere near ready for a pro stage at that time. But I was just so gung-ho still about competing that I went on to do 4 shows that year. Mind you, I did not have enough muscle yet. I was not eating right the whole time. I mean, I was just deficit that entire year. So by the end of that season, I had done 4 shows. That last show, and I still have these photos. I have an athlete page out there where I have these photos, and it's just like, it's devastating for me to see these because I've had wasted muscle, just terrible. Any tiny little bit I may have built up was just, it was awful. I mean, go out and look at them. They're bad. I learned in that year, though, that, you know, obviously I was doing something wrong because somehow I ended up, you know, going from feeling great, going to being, like, in worse shape than what I was. So I got a really good coach that year, Brian Alstrom, started working with him, and took from 2012, that was in September, my last show in 2012 was, until September the following year. Now, I think that's a pretty common way that a lot of girls compete. They take that, you know, 8-month off season, which, you know, everyone says, I took a year off, but, you know, really, you only took about 7-8 months off because you've got to have that time to cut again. But took that time, really worked with Brian, came back, and I won my pro card that year. So that time off was, I noticed, obviously made a difference. I looked great, but mentally I was not in a good place that year. It just, I really had a hard time coming off those shows that year. Kind of forgot really why I got into the sport in the first place. And
sure.
That's really because I loved training, and I forgot that I loved training. I just got so addicted to being lean, to being stage ready, and it's just not healthy for females to be like that all the time. I mean, for me, when I come off a show, it takes several months just for my hormones to get normal and regulated and just to feel good and finally lift good and just be normal again. So coming into that off of 2013, trying to just get used to being, you know, I guess, for lack of a better term, average, you know, just a normal average person, was really hard for me. So that's where I knew I had to take an ample amount of time off, not only to get my physique in a better place, but just to get my mind in a better place. So I took all of 2014 off, that whole entire year. So from September 2013 until September, this last year here, I took all that time off and just, you know, tried to eat good under Brian's guidance. You know, he had me in an area that I was not comfortable with at all. But I look back now on those pictures and I can look at those and think positively of myself. Whereas before, there's no way. I would have never let myself get that far over stage weight. I would have never thought that I looked okay. I mean, that whole time off just totally changed my perspective on the way that I just looked as a normal day-to-day person, the way I felt about myself, that just mentally the positivity was back. It just, if anyone is really struggling with that, you've just got to take time off and remember why you got into the sport in the first place. I just feel like that's really important. I mean, that helped a lot for me to do that.
And so you have covered so many things in your introduction. I kind of want to take a moment and take a step back.
Sorry, I'm a rambler.
No, you're not a rambler at all. But I think it bears repeating because the reason that I like your story so much is because my story was pretty similar to yours as far as I got started, as far as when I got started. Uh-huh. And I think you would be surprised the number of people out there that on a whim decide that they want to jump into bodybuilding and competing. Some of them are very strategic about that, no doubt. But others, once they learn about it or they see people doing it, they are so motivated by it. They're like, oh, my gosh, yes, I'm going to do that. And so many of us jump in and, you know, we hear from others, oh, you can be ready in 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever without really knowing what it is that we're doing or, you know, how to go about it. And we do jump in it. We do fall in love with it. Not everyone, but a lot of us. And then we do it a lot. My first year, I competed 5 times. And that was way too much. That was not enough time for me to correct my weak areas or to grow or to really make any improvements from show to show. There just wasn't enough time and there wasn't enough there muscle-wise, you know, structurally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to grow it. And so not really until I came off of that a competing spree, if you want to call it that, and I think there's a lot of listeners out there that can relate, did it even dawn on me that, oh, my gosh, I really needed to take that step back and work on the areas that I needed to. And I compete bikini, but even at that point, you know, we bikini girls don't have to have as much size, striation, so on and so forth, but there's still a lot of work that goes into it. And if you have problem areas, you have to build it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of bikini girls, one of my good friends, Rebecca Olson, she took the same year off that I did. You know, she's bikini, she worked hard. To build that booty takes a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of food. You don't just diet and get on stage. You girls work hard, too.
Yeah, most definitely. So, I mean, there's that aspect of it. And so, you know, we're getting ready to jump into where we're going to be talking more about that improvement season, but not only in the typical improvement seasons that you talked about of, you know, 8 months or 12 months, which is kind of average. If it's even that long, you know, some people only take, you know, the standard 4 going from the fall into the spring. But then, you know, you touched on a lot of points that I think probably impact men also, but definitely for sure women, just because of where our culture is structured and the way that we think about ourselves and our bodies and what's beautiful and what's acceptable. And even though all of that is changing in positive ways, there's still a lot of the same mindset that's out there. And it is mentally taxing. And you mm-hmm. can lose the yeah. joy in it. So with that being said, do talk to us more about your thought on taking what I'm going to call a longer than average improvement season, because you took off the year and you made great strides, but then you took off, I think, even more time to come back and make even more strides. So how did you come to the decision to take that much time?
You know, after I saw the that first length of time between 2012 and 2013, after I saw the changes from that, I realized how beneficial it was. And all you could think is, what if I took longer? So I did just that, took even longer. And I was just blown away at how much change. I mean, weight-wise on stage, I actually came in a little lighter this last time, but the whole look is totally different. I mean, I wish when I started, I understood that more. I mean, that was just a huge thing. Now that I completely get it, and it's amazing the difference it makes when you actually feel your body and take that time and, you know, keep training through it, keep eating right, and then once you get to finally cutting back the fat that you had to put on to get there, the change is just amazing. I mean, I think more competitors, female-wise, are catching on to that. I've really seen a lot of people doing that this last year. So I hope that more people are really, really grasping that. But, you know,
How much time did you take in your last improvement season?
I took from September 2013. That's where I won my pro card. I took all of 2014 off and then just competed in 2015 in September. So it was a good 18-month off-season.
Okay. And how would you say that off-season differed from your previous ones? I mean, obviously it was longer, but, you know, how did you stay motivated and focused that long? Because an off season, for it to be a truly effective, I keep calling off season an improvement season, you have to keep working out, you have to keep eating right, and anybody can do that for short periods of time, but you've taken it to, you know, a whole nother level. How did you keep your eye on the prize for that?
I work with two really phenomenal coaches. Brian Alstrom does my nutrition, Jacob Trout does my training. With the two of them, it just keeps me motivated. So coming off of a show, if you don't have a plan to reverse diet, you're going to struggle. I struggled really hard in 2013 because I didn't stay on with Brian. I was miserable. I had some bouts of just, I couldn't stop eating. I mean, everyone kind of knows how that goes. Once you open those floodgates, it's hard to shut them down. So I signed back on with Brian, and he just really helped me through that. And I just learned that this really is a lifestyle. It really is. If you want to be in the sport, it's a lifestyle. You can't just live it just for prep season. It is year-round. But, you know, I've learned with Brian and Jacob. He writes, like I said, he writes my training, and that usually changes, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks. Depends on what he's going to give me for my programming. That'll change. And with that change, that really keeps me motivated. So the two of them just guiding me through it is huge. I think if you don't have a plan in place, then you probably are going to fail. I mean, I know I certainly did without the two of them guiding me through it.
And so psychologically, you said it was, you know, it was very important for you to take that extended time off as well. Why don't you talk just a little bit about how that benefited you emotionally and mentally?
Yeah, like I said, when I came off of 2013, it was rough because I wasn't eating properly. I didn't have a plan in place. I put on some extra body fat, you know, pretty quickly. And when you're lean, used to being lean for so long, that can really be mentally hard. But just having that year off of not being stage lean, just seeing myself for who I am and just really appreciating just being healthy, eating healthy, and just being normal and having just a normal daily routine that isn't constant prep was huge. I actually got to focus on what truly is important and best time with my family. When you're in prep, you know, you can, a lot of people can say they keep it balanced and, you know, family's first, but let's be honest, you're spending a lot of time away from your family trying to train for stuff. I mean, even with your food, you do have moments where you'll go to an event and you can't eat everything else, and that's no fun. You're not really living your life with your family the way you probably should be. Having that time off and just putting things back into perspective of what's really important, family first. Me and my husband travel a lot, so I was able to do that. It was my first year where we did travel, and I didn't bring any kind of resistance bands or think, oh, my gosh, I have to find a gym. I learned that year that when we travel, I take that time off. I use it as my deload. So that was huge. That was a big stride for that. When in the past, I would always lug something in my suitcase so I could still try to get a workout in. So just little things like that that I just had to adjust. And so now coming off of my competition season this last year, it was a whole different ballgame. I mean, I can't even tell you how positive it was. It's just, it's a totally different outlook on it. I just did not have the struggles that I had in 2013.
I mean, and that makes a world of difference. And, you know, we've had other guests that have talked about it as well, that, you know, when you are not mentally prepared, or if you've lost the joy of the vision of what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it, it can make your prep, any part of it, that much more difficult. And
exactly,
it's just one of those things. It's just when a sport can be that demanding, you have to keep things in perspective and remember why you're doing what you're doing if you want to continue to be successful.
Exactly. So, yeah, I had to remember that I just love to train. That I love training, but I couldn't wait for off season to start this time. I love setting PRs, and I love feeling good in the gym. So it's glad to have the love for the sport back. It's good to have it back.
And that is so important. So talk to me a little bit, or talk to us a little bit about, I mean, obviously, when your long-term goal is much longer term than what others may have in place, how important is it to have several shorter-term goals, or is it important when you're in this process?
I do like to set little short-term goals along the way, and mostly it's going to be, I even have weekly goals. Say I'm going to walk in the gym, and I just want to be able to add 5 or 10 pounds to a certain lift. You know, every time I'm feeling like I'm accomplishing something, and that just keeps me going. You know, maybe I've got a big PR to be able to deadlift a certain amount, you know, way down the road. I'm not going to put a firm point on, you know, what date I want to hit that by, but I'm going to set little goals along the way to get there. So I'm very goal-oriented, so that works for me.
And that's definitely an important thing to keep in mind, I think, for anyone, regardless of what your fitness goals may be. And for you, when you were coming off of your 18-month improvement season, and you said you only competed in one show, which show was that?
Oh, I actually did 2 shows this last year.
All right.
18 months. I did the Kansas City Pro, and I walked into that show thinking, you know, I was just glad to be here. I made huge improvements. I was so proud of myself and the changes that I made, and then I took that time to get there. I really didn't have any expectations. I was scared. I mean, those girls are big, and I'm just little. But I got out there, and I held my own. I was so proud to be up there with, you know, Stephanie Casella, Melissa Johnson. I mean, those girls I've seen for years on that stage, and I was finally up there next to them. It was just this huge aha moment for me, and I ended up taking 2nd in that show and just blown away. The 2nd show I did was actually the Yorton Cup.
Yay!
I was actually inspired. Yes, I never thought I was going to get there this year. I just didn't even think that was on the radar. You know, you're hopeful for it, but I just was trying to be realistic and was really surprised. But I was inspired by a teammate a couple years ago. He went to the Yorton Cup, Scott Deisler. I remember him saying on a little private team page, like, you know, I qualified for it. Why not? And that just stuck with me when he did that. I was like, he's right. If I ever get a chance to qualify, I'm going to go. And I did, and it was just such a fabulous experience. It was just amazing. So those are the two that I did, the Kansas City Pro.
Well, then that's awesome. And, you know, for anybody who's listening and is not familiar, the Yorton Cup is pretty much the show of shows for the IFPA. It's what everybody is building up to as a pro in that particular federation. So so exciting that, you know, your journey took you there. But I think the most important takeaway of that is that you felt totally prepared and totally ready for it. You know, an 18-month or 20, you know, we'll just say an extended improvement season might not be for everyone, but I think what you're demonstrating is that you shouldn't be afraid to take whatever time you need to bring the package that you're capable of to the stage, because you're really not losing out on anything. I mean, age is not a factor, or should it be a factor? It's all about you, how you feel, and the work that you put into it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So with all that being said, then, what's on the horizon? When do you think that we'll see you back up on the stage?
An even longer off-season. I am extremely competitive. I am very competitive. So, I mean, do I think I will always win? No, obviously. I came into last year thinking nothing was even going to happen. But, you know, everyone has that dream of, you know, at least winning the Yorton Cup. Now, do I think I will? No. But maybe if I placed in the top three, that's my big goal. So I'm going to take off until 2018, and that is my focus. I'm blinders on, and that's what I'm working on. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, and we definitely know that based on what you've shared with us, that you will have a plan in place going into that improvement season, or you're in it now. So, you know, it'll be definitely interesting to see how that turns out for you. So, and I'm sure it will be great. Not that it wouldn't. I just hope that I'm still around by 2018 to see what happens. So. And now that we are getting to wrap up on our show, what would be some words of advice? I mean, if there were three things that you would want our listeners to walk away with from our time this evening, what are those things you would want to share with them?
Well, I've touched on this one a lot, and that is take the time to build. That's huge. You know, I've already talked about that quite a bit. Have a few close friends that you can share your experience with. I mean, that's another big thing. My husband is not into competing. He doesn't want to hear about how my latest PR was or how I hurt my SI joint or whatever. So I do have a couple of girlfriends that I talk with daily that are also into the sport, and I do not know what I would do without those ladies. They're just my rocks. Another, just don't let it don't let it define you. Your family, your career, those things are first. This is just a hobby. I mean, there's very few people that make a living at it. So just keep things into perspective. You know, it's not the end-all, be-all. You've got to eat to grow. Eat. Most importantly, have fun. It's a sport that's supposed to be fun. So if it starts getting too disappointing and not any fun anymore, take a step back. Take some time off.
Most definitely. Well, Mandy, I can't thank you enough for taking the time this evening to share your experience and your perspective with us. I mean, it's always great for people to hear how different strategies and different approaches have worked and can work and give them more to think about, you know, with their own training program. So thanks so much, and we wish you the absolute best in the future.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
I think we've definitely heard a lot tonight to think about when you are looking at your off season. And I think, and I'm hoping that the first thing that you are taking away is that it is important to have an off season and to start to mentally prepare yourself to take advantage of that time so that if competing is still in your future after you get off of your last show, that you can have more control over what that future can look like for you. Granted, bodybuilding is a totally subjective sport, so it's always good to, you know, guide as much of it as possible. So just a couple of other things to think about while you're getting ready for your improvement season is following your shows, do be sure to get judges' feedback. That'll help give you a little bit more of a roadmap as you go into your improvement season and make the most of it. And as Mandy was sharing with us, definitely right mindset and be prepared for what comes with an improvement season, especially for you ladies. Don't freak out every time you gain weight, and maybe for some of you men, but just know that as long as it's healthy weight gain, you're putting on muscle, you're putting on the fat that you need to support that muscle development, that's where you want to go, and that when the time is right, it is going to come back off. And then, again, another lesson that Mandy shared with us is do formulate a training program. If you're able to work with a nutritionist and you're able to work with a strength coach, that's great. But even if you're not, if you've got that judge's feedback and you're comfortable with guiding your own workouts, then use all of that information together and have a plan and monitor your growth and be honest with yourself about your development and set those goals. And if you're not able to hit a goal in a specific time frame and you're being consistent, it's okay to reevaluate your goals and keep moving forward. You know, keep with your nutrition and your diet. Do include cardio, but don't overdo cardio. Make sure your supplementation is on track and your off season, your improvement season can be a great one. So with that, if any of you have any tips for a particularly awesome improvement season, please do share them with us. You can reach out to us on Midwest Muscle on Facebook or look for Kaylin or myself on Facebook as well and just share your thoughts. We'd love to hear and we want to be able to share your wisdom with the rest of our group as well. So on behalf of myself and my mission cohort and P4P Muscle, if your body is a temple, let's build it.